Blog Talk Radio.
Grace is an empowerment to have victory where you couldn't get no victory. Hallelujah. Sin tries to stop the flow of grace, but grace will stop sin. Everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. But the question is, what is this power? Many have given it many names over the years. What is this power that has miraculously given to us this enablement? And the name of this divine power is grace. Grace has allowed me to be made righteous, redeemed, sanctified, have healing, have all spiritual blessings. Make a list of everything you could not do. You're going to learn how to release grace, and in this life, you'll look like Jesus. It is the grace of God.
We need your love. We need your power.
Grace is an empowerment to have victory where you couldn't get no victory. Now go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Now all your life you just thought, well, faith pleases God, but didn't know the why behind it. Faith pleases God because that's how grace shows up in your life for you to have the ability to do what you were put here to do. Sin is not the issue. Jesus has taken care of sin. That's one of the graces. That's only that's been given to you. The issue is, will you fulfill the will of God? David, a man after God's own heart, because he fulfilled the whole will of God for his life, he had access to the grace for him to do what he was put here to do.
God bless each and every one of you. I want to welcome you to Grace for Today. I am your host, DeMarcio Williams, and I am so thankful that you've taken time to join us here on this incredible show. Tonight, I want to dive into the Word of God because I believe there is a Word that God is calling for us to learn deeper. I'm currently reading a book, The Most Misused Verses in the Bible, in this particular verse that we're coming from tonight is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which is a verse that's always quoted, always said in churches and in ministry, literally around the world, I believe. But it's a verse that if we really got deeper into it and we really honed in on what the Apostle Paul was trying to get us to understand, we would have a better and deeper revelation of what God is trying to do through our lives. The Word of God says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." I believe that it's real easy for people to accept the reality that, you know, God is working things out for our good. That sounds nice. You know, it's good to hear that God is working promises out, that he's going to fulfill promises in our lives. But what happens when we don't see those promises being revealed in our lives? When we know that God has promised us health, he says that, "I wish above all things that you be in health, even as your soul prospers. I want you to prosper." But then the doctor calls and says that the cancer has returned to our bodies or has come to our bodies. And then we have to ask ourselves that question, is it really true that all things are working together for our good? When we hear that we just lost our job or we don't have enough money to pay our bills, can we really stand and say God is working all these things out for our good? And that's the way I used to look at this scripture. I would merely look at this as a promise from God, or look at this as, you know, a flat out a guarantee from God that, you know what, everything's going to work out. It may not look right, may not feel right, but it's going to work out. And that was a good revelation for the last 10 years that I've been preaching. But tonight, God showed me a deeper revelation, and I'm always looking for deeper revelations, looking for deeper things of God. And I've come to the realization that what Paul is saying here cannot be applied to anybody but a believer. That's the first thing. We have to understand that this word is not just for anybody. It's not for anybody to go around and say, you know what, all things are working together for my good if they're not first saved, if they're not first a believer of Jesus Christ. And that is what the Apostle Paul was first saying here. This is only a promise for those who have trusted in Christ for their salvation. And has been given the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this is why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit, because in these last days, though the outward man is going to perish day by day, the inner man is going to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that Paul is saying, in fact, in this scripture, that this is for those who will inherit the kingdom of God, those who will inherit and are bound for glory. And he puts the suffering in perspective. That's what he's doing here. He's putting the cancer that you may have in your body, or the bills that you can't pay, or the job you just lost. He's putting it all in perspective to say, you know what? Even if all that goes wrong, I'm still working it out for your good, because I have a greater place for you. And yeah, that's hard to, you know, sometime realize. But I believe, in fact, Paul is saying that the suffering that we face in this present life, in, you know, this present time in life, cannot even be compared. And that's what he says, you know, over, you know, in 2 Corinthians. He even says it there. He basically lets them know that this light affliction is but for a moment, but it's going to work out. It's going to work out a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So I believe that when we put in comparison the things that we face on a day-to-day basis in comparison with the future glory that awaits us, there is really, it's really minute when you look at it in that perspective. And, you know, Paul is also encouraging us that the Holy Spirit is our reliance. We must rely each and every day on the Holy Spirit, because the truth of the matter is this flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. If we don't have the Spirit of God, if we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside, then we are going to be weak vessels and we're going to fall to our weakness. I think during times when we don't know how to pray, what to pray, we really can rely on the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul says that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit can intercede for us when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of discernment will come upon us, and it will literally come like a mighty wind that will just hit us, and we will be like, whoa, where did that come from? But it will literally be the Holy Spirit coming and letting us know this is what you should do. This is how you should go about it. And that's what we should thank God for, the Holy Spirit. Because truly we are humans and we have limitations. We have weaknesses. But the Spirit does not. The Spirit comes in that moment when we are weak. So I want to go really quick into this in the perspective of, you can see the contrast here. There is much we don't know, but there is one thing we do know, that all things work together for our good, right? So the first question is, for whom does everything work together for? Does it work together for everybody? We just said that. No, it is for a very specific people. Paul says that there is a promise for Christians only, believers of Christ, followers of Christ, those who have accepted Christ into their lives. This is a promise for them only. And this is why he says those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay? That's step one. We have to be called according to his purpose, and we must love God. We have to be one of God's chosen that have accepted him. He says many have been called, but only few will be chosen. Only a few will actually accept the call that he has given. Okay? This should be an example to you right there, that not everyone will be able to claim this promise. Not everybody can say, God is working together all of these things in my life to bring out a greater good. Everybody can't say that. But those who are called according to his purpose can. So I have to take a quick break because I want you to hear this song by Travis Green called Intentional. It's a great song. I want you to hear it. And when we come back, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the glory that I believe God is going to reveal to us by and by. We go through life each and every day, different struggles. I say it's a different day, it's a different problem, but it's the same God. And so he's working together all of these things for our good. So I want you to hear this song, Intentional, by Travis Green. And when we come back, we'll discover a little bit more of God's grace in this word. And we'll see really where God is trying to get us to go. So we'll be right back on Grace for Today. I want you to hear the song, Intentional, by Travis Green.
I can smile again, and I don't have to worry, cause it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Yeah, it's working for me. Come on, sing that out, say that.
I don't have to worry, cause
it's working for me. Yeah, working for me.
It's working for me.
I can hold my head up.
It's working.
Hey, get your confidence back. Think I don't have to worry.
I don't have to worry.
It's working for me. Hey, my faith is rising now.
It's working for me.
And although I can't see how,
it's working for me.
I know that He's intentional.
Welcome back to this special edition of Grace for Today. I am your host, DeMarcio Williams, and I'm so excited that you joined us tonight. We are talking about working all things together for our good, and that was Intentional by Travis Green. Before the break, we were talking about the Apostle Paul and who he was really writing and mandating this scripture to. And we know that it's believers, those who have been called according to God's purpose. But now I want to talk about when it says all things work together for our good, really, 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 what does that look like? What does that mean? We can all say, you know what, everything is working together for my good. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all going to work together for my good. But what is Paul really saying? We have to get deeper in the Word of God. And Paul is defining the word good the way that we might be tempted to define it today. In the sense, let's go to the next verse. This is the problem with a lot of Christians. We read one verse and we stop. We don't read the whole entirety of the text. We've got to go to Romans 8 and 29 to understand Romans 8 and 28. He says, for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. There you have it. That is the answer to what God is doing, how God is working everything out. The ultimate good that God is trying to weave and work together is the good of making us more like Christ. This is the problem with a lot of us. You know, a lot of us. We want a better house. We want a better car. We want more money. We want to have all of our problems solved. We want just life to be smooth and easy. But God says, I am working all things together for your good so that you look more like Christ. In other words, we have to junk our superficial, fleshly definition of what good is to us. So Paul is really using a play on words, as he does a lot. He's saying that the good that you're thinking about, the good things, your good house, your good money, your good job, your good kids, your good everything, he's saying, I am going to use all of those things to work a greater good in your life. And so the greater good is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be more like Jesus. When we wake up in the morning, that's what we want to be praying. Lord, make me more like you. Give me more love like you. Give me more peace like you. Give me more joy like you. Because the truth of the matter is, when we become more like Christ, we can fulfill our purpose just like Christ did. The ultimate good of bringing God his glory, advancing his kingdom, and making us holy. He's trying to make us holy, fill us with his love. He's trying to bring us to humility. He's trying to develop patience. He's trying to cultivate faith and trust in God. The list goes on and on and on. Those are the things that he's trying to work together for our good. Those are the greater good. So when we grow spiritually and he makes us more like him, he does that until he returns to this earth, and he does it until we are glorified, until we are made perfect. That is the greater good that he's working. There's a greater glory here, people of God, that Paul is trying to get us to. He's trying to push us past the natural, push us past our light afflictions that are but for a moment. Because, there's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that we've got to get to. While we are looking at the things which are seen, the Bible says you've got to look at the things which are not seen. Because those things which are seen, they're temporary. They're not going to last long. The job that you think you're going to be at for years, it's only but for a moment. The finances that you think you need to pay those bills, it's only going to last but for a moment. God says, look at those things which aren't seen, because those are the things that are going to be eternal. And that's what Paul is saying here, that we've got to understand God is weaving the great triumphs, the terrible tragedies, all those things to work a sovereign purpose in our lives. He's changing us. That's what he's doing each and every day. This is why the word cannot change. God cannot change, because he's changing us to be more like him. And there we have it. Satan, the evil one, the one who thought he won, God had to let him know, no, you haven't won. You know, the enemy, I often say, tries to win natural battles, but he doesn't. He knows, but we don't sometimes recognize that we have already won, if we stay with Christ, a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war, people of God, and what happens is we get confused. We start thinking about the natural things that we're going through, the things in the natural battles, the natural decisions we have to make, the natural circumstances. And God says, no, I'm working a greater good for you. I'm working things out that are greater than you can ever think or imagine. And so we've got to get in a place where we understand that God is working all of these things out for our good. That is the grace for today. That is what you can run, you can tweet, you can text, you can testify that God is working greater things out for my good. He is creating me to be in the image and the likeness of him. Who he has created me to be is greater than what I'm going through. And so we have to stay in a place where we're constantly evolving with the Holy Spirit and letting God change us for the greater good. And so that's the grace for today. I thank you for joining me. The best is yet to come for your life. Keep believing that. I want you to go tell the world. Tweet, text, and testify. Grace for today. All things are working together for my good. God bless you.
Tell it everywhere I go. Tell the world, tell them. Yeah, I'm a billboard.
Tell the world,
tell them. Broadcasting like a radio.
Tell the world,
you ought to know. I'm brand new.
I know one thing's true, yeah. I don't even really deserve to know you, but I'm a witness that you did this, and I'm brand new, so I'm ready to go, and I'ma tell the world what they need to know. I slave to myself, but you let me go. I tried getting high, but it left me low. You did what they could never do. You cleaned up my soul and gave me life. I'm so brand new, and that's all that matters. I ain't love you first, but you first love me.
Come on,
in my heart I cursed you, but you set me free.
Oh.
I gave you no reason to give me new seasons, to give me new life, new breathing.
No.
But you hung there bleeding, you died for my lies and my cheating, my lust and my greed.
Lord,
what is a man that you mindful of him?
What?
And what do I have to deserve his loving?
Hey. Trying to make the moments last, holding on to the past. But like a hero in a dream, Christ came and he rescued me.
Tell
it everywhere I go.
Tell the world, tell them.
Yeah, I'm a billboard.
Tell the world,
tell them.
Broadcasting like a radio.
Tell the world,
you ought to know.
I'm brand new. Can't offer you nothing, but your care and kindness keep coming, and your love is so unconditional, like it's butterflies in my stomach. I got the old me in a rear view, now the new me got a clear view. I was so dead I couldn't hear you, too deep to sin to come near you, but you pull me in, you clean me up, to take me home, beam me up. Before you do, just let me tell the truth and let the folks know that I done seen your love, and it's everlasting, infinite. It goes on and on, you can't measure it, can't quench your love, it can't separate us from the love of God. There's no estimate. My face looks the same, my brain, it rearranged, but I'm changed, I promise I ain't the same.
Your love so deep, you suffered and took pain. You died on the cross to give me a new name. Ain't nothing like I seen before. I got a beam of glory. I was low down and dirty, but you claim me, Lord. You adopted me, you keep rocking me. I'ma tell the world and ain't nobody stopping me.
Trying to make the moment last. Holding on to the past. Was like a hero in a dream. Christ came and he rescued me. Now I'ma tell the world.
Behold.